الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فنواصل
We will continue inshallah from the book of Fiqh Sunnah by Sheikh Said Sariq. We will continue on the prohibited women that their marriage is prohibited by. We knew before, we learned that among those who are prohibited for a man to marry them are women that are through breastfeeding. Anything that is prohibited by or unlawful for a man to marry because of the kinship or blood relation is also going to be prohibited by the same relation that resulted as from the breastfeeding. For example, a sister that was breastfed with the man is considered his sister and he cannot marry her. So same like his own blood sister. So what type of breastfeeding that will constitute prohibition? What type of the breastfeeding that will mount up to the prohibition? From the apparent meaning of the prohibition is that any type of breastfeeding will result in the prohibition. But it cannot be considered breastfeeding except if there is a full breastfeeding, which means that the infant will take the breast and suck the milk from it and will not leave it until after he is done or he is full. So according to the author, is that when we say one breastfeeding, is that the one breastfeeding would be the breastfeeding where the infant will basically suckle the milk from the breast until he will leave it by himself or herself. So the infant will suckle the milk and nobody will remove him from it. He will leave the breast alone after he is done, which means he is full. So that there is nobody that will force that child away from suckling the milk, but it is come from the child himself or herself. So if the child left the breast by but if the child or if the infant has taken just one sip or two sips, that will not constitute a full breastfeeding. So if the child just took just one quick sip and left the breast, that will one of two of these sips will not constitute a breastfeeding. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one sip or two will not make the prohibition in this case. This is being narrated by a group of the scholars, including Bukhari, Ahmad, and all the scholars of the Sunan, except Bukhari, which means that all the scholars of Hadith except Bukhari in this case. And the masa is basically like a sip, or like sometimes just licking something. So which means that the quick suckling, that just a quick licking of the breast. And the scholars have different opinions about this or around this. Before we continue on this difference of opinions, the type of nursing or breastfeeding that would make the prohibition, we have to look at the number of breastfeeding. Is it just once? It's like one meal for that child, or twice, three, or five, or seven? So there are some of the scholars under different opinions on how many times the child has been breastfed. And second is what defined a full breastfeeding. So when it comes to the definition of one breastfeeding, most of the scholars said a breastfeeding, breastfeeding is not considered a breastfeeding unless the child has a full, like a full meal for that child, where the child would have enough by suckling the milk until he or she will stop from his own. That's opinion of many of the scholars, is that one breastfeeding is like a full meal. So, and that including like the child would be suckling the milk and then they will leave the breast so that he can take some breath and then continue after that and suckle again. But as long as it is done within one setting, that's considered one breastfeeding, because the child just took breaks to take breath or something. This is one opinion. That's the one taken by the school of thought of Imam Shafi'i, and that's when he said that as long as it is done at one setting, it is considered one breastfeeding, like one meal, even if it was interrupted by the child would pull away from it and then come back to it again. And that is all. There's a narration from Imam Ahmad in that regard. Another opinion says that one breastfeeding, if like when the child is suckling the milk and then will turn away from the breast and then come back to it after that, they consider that too, like the child took few sips and then turn away from it and then come back to it in the same sitting, they consider that will be a second one when he come back to it again. So, which means that every time the child will leave the breast and come back to it, that constitutes like a full rubber, and then when he come back, that will be another one. So that means in one time, the child may have more than one breastfeeding cases. So, and in this case, it may be four or five of them, depending on how many times the child took a break from it and left the breast and then come back to it again. And it is like just one meal, but again the child broke it down into different segments by basically taking breaks in between. But some of the scholars are under the opinion that every time the child will leave that breast and come back to it, that will be like a separation between two different breastfeedings. And this is one. And that's what the opinion held by Imam Ahmed and many other scholars, is that if the child left the breast and come back to it a few seconds after that, that is considered a different breastfeeding. There is another opinion which says that every sip is considered a breastfeeding by itself. So for example, like if the suckling mother, the one that's nursing, if she would remove the child away from the breast after the child took one sip and then the child come back again, that one sip is considered one breastfeeding. That's one opinion. So this is in regard of the definition of a breastfeeding, like a full one. And when we come to like how many times the breastfeeding took place, this is where we define that. So now we'll get into what the scholar said about this matter. Number one is that whether it is small amount or it's many times of breastfeeding, it is all considered breastfeeding that will make the unlawful marriage between the man and woman. And that's based on what was narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. and that's based on the verse in the Quran which says that your mothers that nursed you or breastfed you. So the verse did not specify number of feedings. It just said that your mother from the breastfeedings. As was narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim and Uqba ibn Harith, they said, he said that I got married to Umm Yahya bint Abi Ahab. Then a woman came and she said that I did breastfeed both of you. So I said, I came to the Prophet ﷺ, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, how come that happened? So in this case, Ibn al-Haris has married this woman, Umm Yahya, and after they got married, another woman came and she said that she claimed that she breastfed both of them, the husband and wife. And when they came to the Prophet ﷺ to verify, the Prophet ﷺ did say that how come you got married to her and she is your sister in the breastfeeding. And here the Prophet ﷺ did not ask about how many times both this husband and wife were fed by this woman. But he just said that, how come you marry your sister to him without asking about the number of breastfeedings. He didn't ask how many times that happened. But he just did say that how come you marry her and she is your sister now. If she has breastfed both of you, then you are brother and sister. In this case, the Prophet ﷺ, the fact that the Prophet ﷺ did not ask about the number of the breastfeedings, and by his command for the Uqba to leave or split from his wife, is that it is not the number of breastfeeding that make this unlawful, but it is just the fact of the breastfeeding, whether even if it's once. And also the scholars who are carrying this opinion said another proof is that breastfeeding is as a result of a marriage between a man and a woman from whom that pregnancy took place, and the wife came gave birth to her children, and therefore she is able to breastfeed. And in this case, all of this resulted as a marriage that between the original husband and the feeding mother. And in this case, the man and the husband who are behind the breastfeeding anyway, the pregnancy came out without a number being considered. It could be just one time that this man saw his wife and she became pregnant, etc. So in this case, the breastfeeding can also one breastfeeding can be effective, and would be the one that make this unlawful. And also the Prophet ﷺ said that the breastfeeding will basically make the flesh grow, will stimulate the growth of the stimulate the growth of the body of the infant, and his bones will get stronger by the breastfeeding, and that can happen with a small amount as much as with a big amount as well. Which means that one sip of milk would help in that. This is the opinion followed by Ali and Ibn Abbas and Sa'id ibn Musayyib and Hassan al-Basri, al-Zuhri, Qutada, Hammad, and Awza'i, and Thawri, Abu Hanifa, Malik, and also a narration that came through Imam Ahmad. May Allah be pleased with all of them. So this is the opinion of the school of thought of Abu Hanifa and Malik, which means that one time of breastfeeding is enough to make the prohibition between the man and woman to marry. Second opinion is that it takes 5 times of breastfeeding to make it unlawful. And this should be like 3 independent breastfeedings, as was narrated by Muslim and Abu Dawood, that through Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, among what was revealed in the Quran, 10 breastfeeding are known breastfeedings that will make the prohibition of marriage. And then that was abrogated down to 5. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, those verses were abrogated from the Quran. From among the Quran, there is some that will be abrogated. As Allah said in the Quran, if Allah abrogated a verse from the Quran, He will replace it with one that is better than it or like it. So in this case, the abrogation, there is one type of abrogation where the verse will be abrogated from the Quran, and it is ruling also will be abrogated. So, and there are some when it has been abrogated, there are some verses that the ruling of it would be abrogated, but the verse itself is still in the Quran. And there is the third type, is that the verse would be implemented in the rules, but it is not in the Quran because it's been abrogated from the Quran. So the one that concerning the breastfeeding, it is the one like the one that has been abrogated from the text or the scripture of the Quran, but the ruling of it still exists. Like when the verses that Aisha is referring to, Allah at the beginning said that 10 of the breastfeeding are needed, and then after that they were abrogated down to 5. Both verses have been abrogated from the Quran text. So we don't see them in the Quran as we recite the Quran. And the ten times breastfeeding, it is ruling has been abrogated too, based on what Aisha said. And Aisha said the rule that remained is 5 breastfeedings. Based on this opinion, number 2, which is supported by Imam Shafi'i and Ahmad, they said, this is the type of the abrogation where the text of it is being abrogated from the Quran. We don't see it in the Quran, but the ruling of it is still exists and valid, and we implement it, which means 5 different breastfeedings that are needed. And Aisha said, when the Prophet passed away, some of the companions still used to recite those verses that talk about the 5 breastfeedings, until after they were told that this is being abrogated from the text of the Quran, but the ruling of it is there. Because when the abrogation takes place, sometimes some of the companions will be away from the location of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they wouldn't get the latest about it until they will learn it later. And they said this is kind of like a controlling statement to something that was indefinite. When Allah in the Quran said that your mothers who breastfed you, without putting a number to how many or how the breastfeeding would take place. So this came here to define that, to narrow it. And this itself is not an abrogation of the Quran, but it's just more defining statement. And this hadith is an ahad.
وأنه لو كان كما قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها لما خفي على المخالفين.
And they said, how come and this hadith of Aisha, which is a hadith that is a mutawatir, it's not the highest, the strongest in its chain of narration, how would that come and comment about something like this, and those who have opinion other than her opinion would not know about it? And those who said so are scholars and some of the companions like Ali and Ibn Abbas. And less for the criticism that came from Ali and Ibn Abbas and others, then the opinion of Aisha would have been the strongest one. That's why Imam Bukhari changed his narration on this. He changed his mind about this narration. And this is the opinion that is being carried by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Ta'us and Ata and Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad in his school of thought. The third opinion is that the prohibition would be by three breastfeeding, three of them. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, one or two sipping or sucklings will not make the prohibition. And that is a clear evidence that, you know, he did not say three, he said one or two, which means that three are needed before the prohibition would take place. But here the Prophet ﷺ did not say three. And people understood that when one or two succulents would not make prohibition, they said that meant three would. Which means that anything that's beyond two will make the prohibition. And that's what Abu Ubaid and Abu Thawr and Dawud al-Zahiri and Ibn al-Munzir has took this up as opinion. And also one narration by Imam Ahmad also. In fact, all these opinions have their support. Those who said that one breastfeeding is enough, their hadith does not contradict the one sip or two sips, which means that one breastfeeding can have more than one sip. And those who said that the prohibition will take place only by three or more. And we'll say that even though, I mean, the hadith of Aisha that say five breastfeedings are the one that are needed, the hadith does not say that less than five wouldn't make the prohibition. So it is no contradiction there either. So under all conditions, as we knew, the scholars have different opinions about this. And from two angles. One is that how many times the breastfeeding has to take place before it will be a prohibitive one. Some of them said one, some of them said three, some of them said five. And the second is the definition of breastfeeding. What would define a one-time breastfeeding? Is it a full meal for the infant? Is it just a sip of milk that he will suckle from the breast? or is it a full meal where the child will get some milk and then turn away from the breast and come back to it? So which one would define a full breastfeeding in this case? Some of them, they said just one sip is considered a breastfeeding. Unless if the mother or the breastfeeding mother would push him away from the breast and then he will come back to it, in that case it's not considered two, it will be just one. But if the child will pull away from the breast by his choice and then come back to it, then that will constitute a full rada'ah, and when he come back, that will be the second one. So, and anytime the child will take a break from the breast to take a breath and come back again, every time he take a break, that will make one additional rada'ah or one additional breastfeeding. So these are the different opinions. And next they say that the milk from the breastfeeding woman will make prohibition period. Consumption of the milk by a woman will make the prohibition, whether it has been directly suckled from the breast or if it was transferred into a cup and then it was taken and given to the child through the mouth. So if the milk of the woman has been taken and collected in one cup or one container and then it was transferred into the child's mouth, that is considered breastfeeding. Or whether it's done through the mouth or through the nose, however the method is, if the milk reach into the child's stomach, that would make it a breastfeeding too, like a breastfeeding. And sa'uta is basically when it is forced through the nose. So it doesn't matter how it reached the stomach of the child, it is considered breastfeeding as long as it is coming from that woman. And it will constitute a one breastfeeding, because by doing this, it is like when the child is breastfed directly from the mother and his body is going to nourish from it. The brother is saying that there are some mother milks that are sold in the market, that some women will sell their milk. Like a woman, she has milk and she would basically suckle it and put it into container and sell it. And the answer is that any child that would drink that milk, it would be considered as her child. And people have to pay attention to who drank it so that people would know. Milk that has been mixed or blended with something else. For example, if the milk from a woman that's been mixed with water or some other element. If the milk has been mixed with something else, whether it is a different type of food or another drink or medicine, or even with the milk from a cow or anything. And if the child drank it, but if that blend has predominantly the milk of the woman, then it is considered a breastfeeding. But if the breast milk was only minor in that, then that is not going to be considered breastfeeding. So it depends on what ratio of the mother milk is in there. And Ibn Qasim from the Makiya said, if the milk has been mixed in water or any other liquid, then the child was made to drink it, that will not be considered a breastfeeding. It will not be a Qur'an. So in this is again, in that case, milk is going to be the minor component, but the majority of it is the other thing that is mixed with it, whether that's water or or any other drink or something. But if it is predominantly the milk of the mother or the milk of the woman, then that will be considered as a breastfeeding. And Shafi'i ibn Habib and Mutarrif and Ibn and Majshun, they said it doesn't matter if the child drink it, it is mixed, it is considered breastfeeding. And it is will be as if the child have drank that milk pure. This is the second opinion, and they said it doesn't matter how much, even if you have a very small amount of the milk in that blend, it is still considered breastfeeding. And Ibn Rushd said, no, the difference of opinion is that so the reason of the difference of opinion among the opinions, if the milk is being blended with something else, is still going to be like a pure milk or not? It is just like impurity that would be mixed with something clean or pure. So will we describe such a thing as pure or impure, because it got contaminated with something impure? So that's the analogy that they're drawing in here. So if the milk of the mother has been mixed with something else, so is it still going to be considered as milk or blend? It's just like when water, if water has some contamination, or we still call it water. So if water has been contaminated, as we talked about this before, about the purity, in this case, if the water has got contamination, if we have to look at what is the contaminant. Is it a small amount, minor thing? If it is, then still we will say this is water. For example, like the tea that I'm having here, it was water, but we mix it with tea bag, and when we mix it with tea bag, we no longer call it water, we call it tea now. Or if there is water that has been mixed with some sugar and something else, and we call it juice, so it's no longer called water. So in this case, if the change that happened will even change the description of the water, then it's no longer water. Even though whatever has been mixed with it is clean and we can consume it and it's not harmful, but it changed the nature of the water. And in this case, if the basic thing is water, and there is very small amount of impurity, but it still would describe the whole thing as water, then it is considered water and it is considered clean. But if the contamination or whatever being blended with it is going to prevail over the water itself, then that will no longer be water. So again, if the contaminant is very small and did not change the water smell or color, it still is considered water. So they said by the same analogy, when we mix milk with water or something else, if we still call it milk because it is predominantly milk, then it is milk, and it will be the one that's considered breastfeeding if the child has used it or consumed it. But if it was the other thing that is more predominant, in that case it is not considered milk. Description of the breastfeeding woman. The one that breastfeed is the one that would breastfeed the child to the point that he be and no longer become lawful for him to marry her. She becomes his mother. And it is any woman, whether she is an adult woman or not adult, whether she is too old to have milk or not, but if she does have it, then she is she will feed, whether she has a husband or not, and whether she was pregnant or not. So there is no any condition that the woman has to give birth to a child, or she has to be married, or anything like that. If she is capable of breastfeeding the child, then that will do it. So any woman that can basically produce the milk is any milk that will come from the woman will make the breastfeeding that would result into the hurma or the prohibition of marriage. So based on this, many of the scholars have taken opinions that like nowadays that women would take some medications or hormones, and she would be in an age that she cannot even get pregnant, but she take those hormones. And those hormones would lead to her being able to give to produce milk. If that happened, and if that woman happened to breastfeed a child, even though she took this medication and the medication was the cause of the milk to come from her, and so that would do it. And that child would be her child, or like her daughter or son. But in this case, people have to consider that. If this milk, there is no husband or marriage that was behind the milk, like. So in this case, the mother, the woman herself, would become the mother of that child. And if that woman was married, the husband is not considered his father, because the milk that she gave is not because of a birth that she gave from him as a husband, that she gave birth to a child. In this case, the milk came literally because of the medication. So that milk came because of a different reason. So her husband, if she happened to be married, is not going to be a father to that child. In this case, the prohibition through the mother only. And the kids, the children of this mother, would be his brothers and sisters. There was a man who walked into his house, and he found that his son was breastfed by his neighbors. It's a very hypothetical question. The sheikh is laughing. So, if the child was breastfed, and then the father didn't like that, and he took the son and basically forced him to throw up. Will that make it? And he said, we have to search on this. يا شيخ، بس المثال اللي ذكرته هذا ما يعني لا ما ما في له مثيل في الحرمة بالنسب يعني إذا المثال اللي ذكرته أنه مثلا الزوج لا يكون أب للطفل، فما في له مثال، ما في له مثال بال أو شبيه بالنسب يعني كيف هو أبو إخوان الرضيع يعني.
هم يعني يصبحون مثل الإخوة من الأم، يعني زي مثلا في المحرمات من النسب في أخت
Okay,
الشقيقة
okay,
يعني تأخذ بنت
okay,
أمك، هي بنت
okay.
أخت بنت أمك، وفي أختك لأم اللي هي يعني بنت أمك لكن من أب آخر مثلا. فهنا مثلا الطفل اللي رضع من امرأة هي أمه من الرضاع، إذا إيه يعني ولم يكن لها زوج يكون أبا من الرضاع، تصبح هذه المرأة يعني أما من الرضاع، وبناتها يعتبرون أخوات لأم من الرضاع مش أخوات شقيقات.
اوكي طيب، واذا كان هذا الطفل يعني انثى، يعني هل يعتبر الربيب، تعتبر ربيبة للزوج ولا
نعم، لو أحسن إذا كان مثلا
in this
الرضاع
case
من المرأة،
if the mother gave breastfed
هو
that child،
الرضاع من المرأة
so the
هو
least of it is that that child is going to be like Rabib, like a daughter in a stepdaughter to that husband, so he will be he cannot marry her anyway. So she. So.
Even if the testament came to.
Ask the Sheikh, ask the Sheikh. As we said. If we come to the prohibition through family relationship or blood relationship, as some of the scholars put these puzzles, like how would somebody say that my brother got married to my sister? How come that happens? In this case, a person who has if there is a man called Zayd and his wife is Fatima, and they have one son, and Amr is married to Aisha, so, and Amr and Aisha had a child, daughter, that's a female child, then the son of Zayd can marry the daughter of Amr because they are not sisters or brothers, so they can get married. So they can get married because that's from two different fathers and mothers. So each one is an independent family of the other. Then what happened after that? If Zayd, his wife passed away, and Aisha and the other family, her husband passed away. So now we have one husband and one, and in this case, Zayd came and married Aisha after the divorce or death. So the kids that will come from that marriage are going to be brothers or sisters to both. Kids that were both children that got married from the two families to start with, like the children from the first marriages which were able to get married, now this new marriage should bring brothers and sisters to both of them. So in this case it will be like their brothers brother is married to their sister, which means that they are half brother and half sisters to the new children that are born from this third marriage. The age of son that's breastfeeding. The breastfeeding that will make the prohibition is the one that's within 2 years. And that's the time which is defined by the Quran. Allah said, and those women who give birth should breastfeed their children for 2 years, because these 2 years are the most critical period for the child to build the body structure and bones and flesh, and that's why that become like a child for the breastfeeding mother, and become like a son or a daughter to her. And Ibn Abbas have narrated the hadith in which it says that there is no breastfeeding except in 2 years, as it was been narrated by the Prophet that there is no breastfeeding except the breastfeeding that will basically build the bones and the flesh, which means that the original bone and flesh of the body are originated or nourished from it, and that will happen when the child is 2 years or younger. And that can only happen when the child is 2 years or less. And narrated through Umm Salama, she said that the Prophet ﷺ said, no prohibition by breastfeeding except what has been used to nourish the stomach and before the child is being independent from the breastfeeding. And after those 2 years and the child become independent, then no breastfeeding anymore for the child, which the child can rely on other sources to. And if the child has been if the child has stopped from breastfeeding before the 2 years, and then another woman continued to breastfeed him, then that woman would become his mother. The Prophet ﷺ said that the breastfeeding is one reason, or it will take place as a result of hunger. So, and we're talking about lunar 2 years here, which means the Islamic calendar. So when you say 2 years, that's based on the lunar. If the child was basically, his mother has stopped breastfeeding him and when he was younger than 2 years, then after that another woman has taken him. And Abu Hanifa and Shafi'i said that breastfeeding is considered breastfeeding that will make the prohibition in the marriage. And Malik said, any breastfeeding after the 2 year age of the child will not make the prohibition, because that will be considered just like water. And if the child has given up from the breastfeeding and did not like it anymore when that child is younger than 2 years, then after that another woman that breastfed him, that is not considered breastfeeding anymore. As a consequence of these arguments, there is one topic, which is breastfeeding of an adult, which has become a focus of debate, and when we say by the breastfeeding of a grown person, which means in this case means anyone who is more than 2 years old. And when we say 2 years, in this case it doesn't mean that, I mean exactly 2 years, like it may be 2 years few months, it may be 2 years plus minus. So like if a child is two and a half years, so that's still considered part. But when we say the grown breastfeeding of a grown person, that is anything that's beyond the 2 years period. That's what we mean here by a grown, which means like 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Based on that, breastfeeding of anyone that is grown up, it's not going to be prohibitive. All the four scholars, school of thoughts, are under that opinion. But there is a group of the Salaf, they said that breastfeeding of anyone that's grown up or beyond 2 years will make the prohibition, even if that person is an adult person. Sometimes the question will come, like a man has basically suckled milk from his mother, his wife. Will that make her his mother? And based on the four school of thoughts, no, because breastfeeding of an adult will not make the prohibition anyway. But there is a group of the Salaf and Khalaf, they said that breastfeeding of a grown person will make the prohibition, even if that person is an adult or an old man, just like the young infant. And that's the opinion of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. It was narrated through Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Urwa ibn Zubair, and Ata ibn Rabah. And they take as a support is what has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was asked about it. He said, Urwa ibn Zubair told me about this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded that Sahla bint Suhail to breastfeed Salim, and she did, and she used to see him as her son. Salim, in this case, may Allah be pleased with him, Salim is the Mawla of Abu Huzaifa, he is a slave of Abu Huzaifa. So Salim, he was a slave of Abu Huzaifa. Abu Huzaifa, he is the son of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. And Utbah ibn Rabi'ah is one of the biggest pagans and the mushrikeen during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And Abu Hudhayfa was a great companion of the Prophet ﷺ. And he has adopted Salim before Islam. So he had Salim as his son before Islam. And Salim has lived with Abu Hudhayfa and his wife all the time as their son. They reared him since he was a child, and Salim himself was one among those who embraced Islam early on, when the Prophet ﷺ prophethood started, and he was one out of four of the scholars who were very proficient of the Quran recitation and the Quran collection. And when Umar was dying, Umar said, if Salim was alive, I would have given him the leadership of the Ummah after me. So Salim used to live with Abu Huzaifa and his wife Sahla. So he used to live with them as their son, just like with his father and mother. And when the verses of the hijab came in Quran, then that made it for Sahla a little difficult, because Salim, after all, is not her son. She has to deal with him now as a stranger man. And when she asked the Prophet ﷺ about it, the Prophet ﷺ said, give him a breastfeeding and he will be your son. In that case, you have to treat him just like your son. And at that time, Salim was an adult. Urwa said, then Aisha took that as the support of her opinion. Whenever she wanted, and whenever Aisha wanted to have somebody to look at as her nephew, she will ask her sisters to breastfeed them. and then she will take them as her nephews. And Aisha, whenever she liked any infant, any child, and she wanted to have that child around like a nephew, she will ask one of her sisters to breastfeed them. And based on this statement of the hadith, she asked her sister Umm Kulthum to breastfeed Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Abdullah, the son of Ibn Umar, so that when he become a man, he still will be like her nephew, and then she can talk to him without much restriction. And then so that, she can pass down the knowledge to him, etc. So Aisha used to ask her sisters to breastfeed some of those children, so that those children will grow up like their children, their nephews and sons, etc. And there will be less restriction on communicating with them in the future. So that's what the opinion that was carried by Aisha. And this could be true about a child that was older than 2 years. Maybe her sister will breastfeed that child who was 3 years old or more than 2.5 years old. And narrated by Malik and Ahmad that Abu Hudhayfa adopted Salim, and Salim himself was enslaved for a woman from Ansar, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted Zayd. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically took care of Zayd since he was a child. And in the past, before Islam, if somebody has adopted someone, people will call that person after the name of the one who adopts. Until Allah revealed in the Quran that call people by their actual fathers. Don't change their father's name because of adoption only. If you don't know their name, their father's name, then they are your brothers in Islam. So if the person doesn't know the name, don't call them after someone, the specific person that you know. Just call them your brothers in Islam. So at that time, when Islam came, if any of the slaves, their father names was known, they will fix that name with them. And if their father's name was not known, then it is basically we say Mawla or a brother in Islam. So when you say Mawla, that means it was somebody that was a slave before Islam, but in Islam now become Mawla. So Sahla, the wife of Abu Hudhayfa, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said to him, "O Prophet of Allah, we used to look at Salim as our son, and he used to live with me and Abu Hudhayfa, my husband, and he used to look up to us like his parents. And I used to sit and talk with him without any restrictions because he's like my son." And at that time the verses about the hijab, the cover, did not come. Then Allah revealed that we have to cover ourselves from men. What should I do? And the Prophet ﷺ said, breastfeed him 5 times. Then he became like her child. And he will be like a son for both her and her husband, Abu Hudhayfa. And narrated through Zainab bint Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, Umm Salama said to Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that she said to her that, you know, the young little boy that come to you, that I don't like them to come to me. Uh, And then Aisha said to her, said, don't you have an example in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Then she said that the wife of Abu Huzaifa came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said about Salim, that Salim would walk in and she want to know what to deal with him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, breastfeed him until so he can come in the house where you are. Now, how the breastfeeding in this case took place? Some of the scholars said, the scholars who said that the breastfeeding of the adult is not considered breastfeeding. But those who said that the breastfeeding of the adult will make the prohibition, they said it doesn't have to be directly from the breast. It has can be milked out and given to them. And the favorite two opinions out of all of this is what Ibn al-Qayyim has investigated. And he said the hadith of Sahla and Salim was not abrogated. And it was not special for Salim alone. And it is not for everyone to use at the same time. It is only a license that's given for very extreme necessities. So people cannot abuse it, and people cannot abandon it. And some of the scholars said this hadith of Salim actually abrogate the one that talks about the 2-year limit, because Salim was an adult, and those who were under the and those who would carry the opinion of the 2-year limit, they said, well, the hadith of Salim was special only for Salim in this case, and not for anyone else. But according to the school of thought of Imam Layth ibn Sa'd, he said it is not special about Salim only. It is for if it happens to anyone, then it will do the same effect as it did to Salim. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim took basically a moderate position in among all of these opinions. So what Ibn al-Qayyim said is that we cannot say the case of Salim is specific for Salim only. It is for everyone, but by the same token, it's not something that people will abuse and use all the time. It has to be done under extreme necessities. And that's only, for example, like if there is a situation where a man, we cannot stop that person from walking into the house, just like the case of Salim with the wife of Abi Huzaifa. In this case, if she breastfed him out of necessity, then that will make it okay for that person to be part of the family. Other than that, I mean, only the breastfeeding of an infant or a child that is 2 years old is the one that to be taken. So, which means that there is a prerequisite for the adult breastfeeding, which is under extreme necessities. So this license of adult breastfeeding, it has to be because of strong reason, and it's not something to be used to be abused. In the West, for example, people always allow adoption. A child that has no family link will be raised in the family. And if that family happened to embrace Islam after this child was an adult, so, and in this case, they knew better, and that's, I mean, this child is a man now, and he's a stranger, I mean, by in that regard. So that would constitute these necessities where this can be done. And that would be the case, just like the case of Salim in this case. But other than that, people cannot abuse this and just use it all the time for no reason. So people took this hadith, the least of it is that it is something to use when it is extremely necessary to do that.
قال والحديث الباقية للرضاعة الكبير إما مطلقة فتقيد بحديث سهلة أو عامة.
Other than that, all the hadith that talks about the breastfeeding of an adult have to be limited to the case of Salim and Sahla. So at least we have to come back to the hadith of Salim and Sahla as the main hadith. And that is better than to say that the hadith is an abrogated hadith or not existing hadith or anything. And as you know, there was a lot of noise that took place in the media recently that one of the scholars of Azhar, he gave an opinion that there are some people, women had problem at workplace where there are men. How would they deal with that? Because sometimes they'll be alone in the office. And he gave the opinion that it's simple, let her get breastfeed that man and the colleague at work, and that he would become like her son. But this is the ultimate kind of abuse of that kind of fatwa or opinion. So in this case we say that that's not the way to do it, that's not the right way to do it, that's not what it is. It's not, that's an extreme abuse of this. The brother is saying that happened that during war in Somalia, there's many homeless women and boys and girls. They would be in a place that people cannot separate them. And some of the scholars said that just breastfeed them and they become brothers and sisters. This hadith, I mean, it's a license. People cannot just use it without any witnessing of breastfeeding. If a woman testifies that she breastfed, if one woman said that she breastfed, it has to be a woman that be trusted, that's not known to be a liar. As it's been narrated that Uqba ibn Haris, he has married this woman, and another woman came and she said, I breastfed both of you. And the Prophet ﷺ took the testimony of that woman that breastfed both Uqba and his wife. And the Prophet ﷺ told Uqba and his wife to separate. Many scholars like Taus, Zuhri, and Ibn Abi Dhi'b, and Awza'i, and Imam Ahmad, they all took this hadith, is that a testimony of one woman will do it for the breastfeeding in this case. If one woman came and she said that I have breastfed those children, that will be taken seriously. It is, will make the man a brother to the woman, if she said that she breastfed both of them. But the Jamhur, they said that just one testimony by one woman is not enough, because the woman is coming and giving a testimony based on what she did. But when we say a witness has to be an independent person. And it was been narrated by Abu Ubaidah and Umar and Mughira ibn Shu'ba and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Ibn Abbas, they said they never split a man from his wife based on the testimony of just one woman that would come and claim that she breastfed both husband and wife. So if a woman comes and there is an already married husband and wife and she said she breastfed them, any of those mentioned names will not split them. And Umar said, we will split between the husband and wife only if we have enough support and evidence that they were brother and sister by breastfeeding. So if a woman come to Umar and said that, you know, I breastfed this man and his wife, Umar will not take that testimony unless there is an additional witness that will come and support what this woman claimed. So if a woman come and gave that testimony, she has to bring somebody to support her testimony as a witness. So that Umar just wanted to make it clear. Because and if that window has been open, then any woman can come and split a husband and wife from their marriage by claiming that she breastfed both of them. So this will also be abused in that way. So any woman can look at any happy couple and she wanted just to destroy their marriage, she can come and say that I breastfed them. And the school of thought of the Hanafi, they said that breastfeeding have to be confirmed by two men witnesses, or by one man and two women, and never take the testimony and the witness of women only. It can be only two men or one man and two women. As the verse said that, and bring two witnesses from among the men or one man and two women. And Amr ibn Khattab, the woman was reported to him that she said she breastfed a man and his wife before, and he said, no, I will not take that until after there is evidence and witnesses. And Imam al-Shafi'i said, it is enough to take two men witnesses, or a man and, or two women, or four women. And he said, because that women will know more about breastfeeding than men, because they are always in closer attachment to giving birth and infants and raising them, etc. So Imam Shafi'i said, in that case, it is not a necessity to bring men only. It can be only women as witnesses in that case. And Imam Malik said, we can take the witness of two women only if what they said is something that's been widely spread before, that people have heard before, that those two women talked about the fact that they breastfed those two who happen to be a husband and wife now. Ibn Rushd said, and Ibn Rushd said that all these opinions that we have just said, how did they deal with the hadith of Uqba ibn Harith? When the Prophet ﷺ said to Uqba, how come you marry your sister in rida or in breastfeeding? And they said, in this case, it is optional to you to split between that husband and wife if you come to know that they have been breastfed by the same woman before. And he said, this is only a narration through Malik. So we have different ways of confirming the breastfeeding. The number one is that if just a single woman come and she said that she breastfed those children, then that will be it. But another opinion, they said it has to be two men or one man and two women, and never pure women as witnesses. And the third, they said it can be two men or one man and two women or four women. We will stop here, inshallah, and continue next time from this section. Imam al-Shafi'i said that, you know, he take the witness of women because he said women are the one who would know more about the breastfeeding than men. So therefore, it's okay to take the witness of women only.